feel the fear and do it anyway, because a lot of the time you don't know what you're supposed to do, and it's just constant figuring it out, constant problem solving. And then if something is really like feels kind of overwhelming, just do it anyway, because nothing is actually that big.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. As you guys know, I'm Esprit Devora, and I am so thrilled to be sitting in Dublin, Ireland right now. We are in the Bank of Ireland in their Workbench collaborative workspace for tech enthusiasts and entrepreneurs. I'm so grateful to have the space to be hosting the podcast in. And I am here with Catherine. Really, she's already blowing my mind. Like, it's just like,
thank you.
Like, films are, she has a company called Usher U, and films are something that I grew up with. It's something that made my father and I really close. It's just a huge part of my history and my life. It's something that I'm super into still today. I wouldn't say I'm a movie enthusiast. It's part of my like culture and upbringing.
Yeah.
And so, So,
you know, what's funny actually about movies is, particularly maybe our generation, you have cultural references.
Yeah.
So many of them come from films. Or like your views of the world, of what right and wrong means.
Totally.
And all those things. Oh, a lot of it comes from films.
And a huge one internationally that I discover is so many people learn English from American films without subtitles.
So
the countries that have no subtitles on their films have a higher speaking fluency in English.
Yeah, like the Netherlands is a big one for that. Yeah. And people actually speak with the accents of the films that they've been watching growing up with.
And they know all of, they know of all of our slang.
Yeah.
I know that.
Like, awesome.
It's amazing. So tell us, go ahead, introduce yourself and tell us about Usher U.
Okay, so Usher U, we found Usher U just years ago.
Okay.
Okay. So my name is Catherine. I'm Irish. I'm one of the co-founders of Usher U. I have two co-founders as well. And we've been going for about 2 years. Before I was in Usher U, I worked in Google for just under 7 years. And prior to that, like, I guess I kind of worked and traveled. I did a couple of ski seasons in Whistler in Canada, teaching snowboarding. Traveled a lot, lived in France, lived in Australia, Canada. Love languages, love adventure, travel. And then I guess when this comes up, like, it's actually started because one of my co-founders I went to Trinity with, actually, so Ollie, and we were actually in Chile. He was living there and we were on a bit of a road trip, and we said, let's start a project.
Yeah.
And I can't even really remember how this kind of like slight kernel of like, let's start a project turned into, maybe 6 months later, I left my job and then started this. Yeah, so
that's
crazy.
An
adventure. And then Usher U is a startup in the film space. And essentially, I guess we have two big goals. One is to get more, we want to get more bums in seats. We want to make the user experience really simple. So we want people to book cinema tickets in 3 clicks. And we want to connect film marketing to the box office. And there are 3 things that have kind of been overlooked in this industry. And we've gone in roundabout ways to get really hone in on this. And now we're probably hopefully in a space where we're cracked it.
And that's one thing that we were just talking about, and Matt may have incorporated a little bit of our conversation into it, is that I had no idea. In the States, the perception is the box office films are dying because of Netflix and watching, online streaming content.
Yeah.
And Catherine informs me, no, actually, like, the States had their best year in history last year, and I'm just...
You're blown away.
Like, I can't even fathom that.
How that is possible?
See the movie theater lines anymore. That's how I judge success of a
film.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people are buying them in different ways. And there's other reasons why movie lines are not. You know, people can buy tickets online now and they can skip those movie lines and they go straight up. You know, they go straight up with their thing.
True.
So lots of things, I guess, are happening. There's lots of... I guess when people are shining a light on this industry now, they want you to be able to buy your popcorn before you go and, you know, buy right. your concessions before you get there, turn up. So it's super convenient for you, and it's all mobile technology. And it's happening, it's not happening in like really widespread way. It's happening in like spots all over the
right,
world.
Right, right, right.
And it, but you know, I think it will be widespread.
It will become widespread. This is so cool. Yeah. And so like how is Usher U different than Fandango, or is it a competitor?
Yeah, I guess in some ways we're a competitor. In other ways, it's complementary. We're not operating in the same markets. I mean,
you also provide like a lot of resource. Like you're like not just about buying a ticket. You're about the full.
Yeah. So package. I mean, if someone comes into Usher U, like usheru.com or our app, you basically find all the information about films. You can also find out what's coming out. You can play games about like films that you like. So we build a profile of the films that you'd like to see, and we can tell you about them in the future. Right. And we work with film festivals as well. So it's kind of this whole spectrum of like, you know, you might like very niche content and you go to a film festival of like something totally obscure. Yeah. Or you could be just interested in blockbusters and, you know, hopefully you find it all there.
Yeah.
And probably something interesting that for us, which has happened, is we very much started with like a very B2C orientation.
Right.
And then when we started to learn about the industry.
By the way, that means business to consumer, just in case. Okay, go ahead.
Use my jargon. So what happened was we had a very business to consumer or consumer orientation. And then we started to see it was like a gap for the film distributors. So these are the film distributors, like the big studios, for example, would be those guys.
Yeah.
You know them in LA, who basically market the films. They spend millions, you know, like the budgets that they spend are huge, but they can't connect that to the box office. So the cinemas sell the tickets. These people market it and they can never tell what like campaign led to that purchase. So they just do a lot of marketing.
Yeah.
And then they can't connect it digitally now.
It's like, hey, that's what's known about that industry is that they waste a lot of money.
Yeah.
So in every direction. Let's just throw it that way.
Yeah. The typical budget for a blockbuster now is something like $300 million on marketing.
Yeah.
Probably half that could still be offline. So it's very different to other industries. And they can't connect that digitally yet.
Right.
And so what we're doing is we're making that connection. So we built this technology with our consumer app that we now can do for film distributors and make them like bespoke pages for a film where they can connect people and they can book tickets.
Wait. Do you also help the independent filmmakers?
Yeah, so it's something that has always been. So Ali, my co-founder's brother, is an independent filmmaker. So he's a documentary maker to now, but he's made a couple of features as well. And that was kind of one of the inspirations. We used to run, actually in London, a kind of like talk series for filmmakers called The Film Hack.
Right.
And so there was all these filmmakers we'd meet, and they very much went to art or film college, and then they came into the industry, and then they suddenly realized, oh, how do I fund my film? Like, how do I produce it? Like, there's so...
Right.
It's like the whole business end of
it. Right,
which can be mind-boggling. Yeah. There's so much to do. So we basically got all these experts from, like, Creative London, Creative England, like from different kind of bodies and filmmakers who came in and gave all these talks about, like, okay, how can you sell your film? How can you, you know, produce? How can you manage your budget? So, like, all these really... And it was cool. So we hope to relaunch it again soon. But that was like, so that was for independent filmmakers,
so cool.
And we met a lot of people. And like some of them will be like, you know, maybe making a career, and loads of people struggling to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And just kind of, and a bit like startup actually. So like people trying to make ends meet who are going, I don't know if I can keep doing this for more than 6 months more. You know, so they're in a very similar situation as people who are in startup, and they don't know what the future holds.
I think a filmmaker is harder.
Yeah. Actually, one thing that struck me was that every time you make a film, you start a startup, right?
So that's true.
It's a brand new idea.
Branding.
Yeah.
Outreach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sales. Yeah. And every time you do
team.
It, you start from the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to get the right people. And then obviously, if you're lucky, you strike gold. And if most filmmakers we came across, they were like going from project to project. You know.
But that's the thing. That's why I think it's harder, is because there's not a clear path to revenue.
Yeah.
Like, to make money on a film is, I just...
No, like, you don't know. And you see, actually, that happen a lot. And I remember the example that came up, like, 2015 was the Steve Jobs film with Kate Winslet and Michael Fassbender. And, you know, they had loads of press and, like, you know, well-anticipated. And then when it just didn't really ring with anybody in the box office, I remember they were interviewing Michael Fassbender, and he was just saying, like, you know, they don't really know at the end of the day. And it could be that there have been too many Steve Jobs documentaries and people were just kind of apathetic about that point. Or it could be that, you know, the audience wasn't there and the style wasn't right. And they never really know. Yeah. One of our aims, right, is to get more insight into that. So what the audience thinks, what audience to target.
Yeah.
So it's basically bringing all that data into this. And like, so we essentially are, we work with, in terms of working with consumers, we just try to get an idea of their film preferences. And then like when someone's actually marketing, they know where to market them to, what locations they are. Where are Steve Jobs fans? Yeah. You know, like, you this have can be
to
obvious.
You have to, I know we're recording right now, but you have to remind me to connect you to an awesome film podcast.
Oh, great.
Comedy Film Nerds.
Okay, yeah.
And they review all sorts of movies.
Oh, very
cool. And I just think it'd be a nice introduction.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
Props to Comedy Film Nerds. They actually produce the LA podcast. Podfest, which is one of my favorite podcasts and conferences.
So, very nice.
how big is your team?
The team is still, I guess, pretty small. There's just six of us, three co-founders, myself, Ollie, and Andreas. And then we have people working on design, content, and working with cinemas.
And when were you founded?
2000 and very end of 2014. So we're just, I guess we're just sitting together, I would say, just over 2 years.
And if I may ask, have you guys raised money?
We raised, initially to this point, we raised about 250,000 euro. And that was very much to spend the last, I guess, couple of years figuring it all out. And we're going to launch around at the end of January.
Oh, you haven't launched yet?
No, we're launching, like, as in we're launching our kind of seed round at the end of January.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And sorry, not launch our product.
Are you guys self-funding or self-sustaining right now?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, which, like, are you making money at the moment?
Yeah, so I guess we're making some money. We're not self-sustaining, so we do need to raise capital.
Yeah.
To take it, I guess, to the next level.
Because my takeaway is it tells me a lot about all of you, because you're really taking a huge sacrifice in your life because you really believe in this to build it.
Yeah.
I mean, you worked at Google.
Yeah.
So you went from cushy life to like, let me build this film company.
Yeah. But you know, actually funny, when I was coming here to meet you today, I listened to something on your website and you said something really profound, which was like,
me?
You do something kind of out of the ordinary for a couple of years to live a little bit less ordinary for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So maybe like that's obviously the hope that you can, you know, have a more flexible life, you know, work the way you want, achieve something really great. Yeah.
I really believe, okay, so I don't think life is easy.
Yeah.
But I really believe, and I don't think the answers are there all the time. I mean, they're close to never there.
Yeah.
But I really believe in inventing our own lives.
Yeah.
No matter where we live.
Yeah.
And I know, I feel very privileged in saying that, being American, because I know we have a lot of liberties in America that like the Ukraine doesn't have.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do think as much as we can in our own like societies and cultures and political infrastructures that like, that if we can invent our lives as much as possible, whether it be what kind of relationship we want or what time we want to wake up in the day or like
just your values, living by your values as well.
And so like I've really taken a plunge like to let go as much as possible of control and trust in the process of life.
Yeah.
And really follow how I feel most fulfilled.
Yeah.
Even though it scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Because I have no clue how it's going to work out. Like, I'm in fucking Dublin, Ireland.
What are you doing
in
here?
Like a room in a building I couldn't find for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I'm happy.
Yeah.
And like,
Your sense of purpose is strong.
You know, and like, and I like love my company in Los Angeles and I don't want it to go anywhere. I'm really proud of it. But I'm personally happy and fulfilled. And so why am I going to leave to go sit in a box in Santa Monica when I'm just so fulfilled? But, So I'm like, how do I do it? How do I continue to build this company that I feel really proud of and continue to produce these shows? Like, I didn't know if this, you know, I have this whole mic setup in Santa Monica that has like this fancy like boxes and like this really high end like mic recorder and stuff. So when I brought this with me, I was like, it may not work. So I put together guest hosts to handle about 2 months worth of episodes.
Yeah.
But it turns out I mean, you guys are listening.
Flows very
naturally.
How's
it sound? You know, like, so I don't know how we got on that tangent, but the point is, like, I believe in inventing our lives.
Also, as well, I have a couple of ideas about that. But so one thing I would say is, like, you can live a lot more simply than you think, you know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
When you pare it down, you kind of go, what do I need?
Yeah.
You know, what do I actually need?
Right.
Which is good. And actually,
right.
I would say going into startup and then having that plunge financially as well makes you a bit more honest with yourself about what you actually need. And actually, my other one is a question.
Yeah.
So, for example, my sister lives in Indonesia.
Yeah.
And so you talk about we can all be fulfilled. So, for example, you see, like, you know, real abject poverty in the streets there. And so to your point about how can we feel fulfilled, I still think, like, everyone can have imagination. They don't necessarily... You can have your imagination and that can be your strongest asset because you can feel fulfilled within your own realm.
Yeah.
And there is things around opportunity that I think are very different to maybe the third world. Like, that to us... so yeah, sometimes I think people when they're really preoccupied with just like survival, you know, day to day, we don't. Maybe they're feeling a sense of purpose and feeling fulfilled, but it's obviously we just our levels keep going up and up the more we get, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I was listening to one of my friends talking about how they have a lease on their car or something.
Yeah.
And they wanted to do this thing in their life and they're not doing the thing because of money. And I'm like, well, why don't you just get rid of the car? And they're like, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, I was like.
Well, it's always...
But I was like, if that's the thing that you really want, like, I don't get it.
Did you say it to your friend?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And what was the response?
Resistance.
Okay, yeah.
Which is fine, like, to each their own, but it's just... Sometimes when... Like, I literally, when I left Los Angeles to go on this trip, I had no idea. I did the best I could to prepare.
Yeah.
But I had no idea if it could all work or what it would entail. And I was scared, but I just knew I was not happy.
Yeah.
And all I cared about in that moment was I cared about feeling ease, like spiritual ease.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm here now.
Yeah.
And I still have no idea how I'm going to like continue it. But I'm like, you know, I just have to try.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe it won't work, but I have to try because there is nothing. And I think that gets lost in the tech world. And I know we're on a bit of a tangent, but in the tech world, it gets lost. We have this, like, especially in the States, we have this hustle culture.
Hustle,
work your whole life away, whole life away. And I just don't believe in it. I think, like,
I
need, on a personal level, to feel ease first, regardless of status, regardless of anything professional.
Yeah.
And only at that point can everything professional come to fruition as well.
I agree, 100%. And I've felt this a lot in the past couple of years, maybe when our setup wasn't quite right or something. Like, if people feel at ease... you'll do everything better and you'll do it in less time and you won't waste your brain thinking about like the things you want to change a lot. Actually, that's one of the good things about having maybe a small number of people that you're working with,
right,
is that often, and it took me a while actually, just after I came out of my job, to get this. It was like, just, I didn't need to ask or get consensus or anything. It was just like my co-founders would be looking at me going, just do it. Just do it. And like, I'd come from an environment where maybe you get more people bought into your idea before you did it.
Yeah.
Whereas you probably feel that liberty now to go, okay, what will I do today? What will make a difference? And then you can
totally.
Do it.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, where else have you been on this trip? Is it just Ireland or
No, I started in... and by the way, one thing I wanted to say before I answer that is Ireland... is very entrepreneurially advanced as well. I think you have a lot of support that's unusual in Ireland, specifically. Ireland, Estonia, I'm finding.
Yeah.
And the States.
Yeah.
And I haven't been around the whole world.
Yeah.
But in my experience, I'm quite surprised on the liberties and access we have in these different areas.
Yeah, great.
I started in Estonia. I was in Latvia. I was in Estonia. I was in Sweden. I'm about to go to Scotland.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And
I'm excited to interview entrepreneurs in Iceland.
Oh, very cool.
Isn't that neat? Yeah. And in the past, I've been to, not this trip, but in the past, I've been to Belgium interviewing entrepreneurs. And I like to go to like the small areas like Leuven or, you know, like and find the startups there.
Do you know where is somewhere cool you should go? Have you been to Puerto Rico ever?
I don't think so.
So I went over to an entrepreneurship program there called Parallel 18.
Say it again. Parallel 18. Okay.
And actually, if there's anyone listening to this that has their own startup and has 5 months... But they have kind of, I guess.
Oh, it sounds like Startup Chile.
Yeah, so it's a really cool group. Actually, the guy that...
Parallel18.com, yeah. Yeah.
So you can go for 5 months, and it's like this really nice... Okay, so it's like a country that is obviously facing a lot of financial difficulty, but like has this really nascent startup community.
Right.
People come from all over the world. Amazing. Amazingly supported by, I think it was the Science Trust or something there, and just a really cool group of people.
Right.
And like... people who are probably a bit more advanced in their startups. Great experience. And I really recommend, if you can get there, to go.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, yeah. And there's another one, Startup Chile.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Parallel 18 does. Startup Chile pays you.
Yeah.
Does it Parallel 18?
So Parallel 18 gives you, I think it's $40,000 equity free.
Oh, yeah. Same, like, it's not, like, the opportunities we have to think outside the box are incredible.
No, it's great. And, like, just the, I guess, look, I think probably if you can go there for 5 months at a point when you are fleshing your idea out, you have the time, the network, and make connections, and, like, you know, it's a really good place.
Let's get into it just a little bit more. Do they provide housing or?
So, no, so you get 40 grand equity free, you pay for your housing out of that. You pay for housing subsistence and that out of that, okay? But then you basically, and you have to put in your budget plan about how you're going to spend your money. And they're fairly good at, like, you know, checking in with you. Just the program and the speakers and everything they brought into that environment was great. The office space is beautiful.
But you did this.
You can walk everywhere. Yeah.
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 When so basically. And you did it with Usher U?
Yeah, I did it with Usher U. So.
This is so cool.
Yeah, it was great.
This is insane. Oh my gosh.
So actually...
So this is a couple years ago?
No, it was actually last year. So I think it started in April.
Do you not come home at all?
I came back and forth because I had a lot of important meetings to come back to.
So you don't have to be there consistent 5 months?
Yeah, more or less I think they want one of the founders there consistently for 5 months.
And one of you guys stayed?
Between myself and co-founders, one of us was there. So one of the main founders would be there most of the time. Other members of your team can be there as well.
Right.
Great space, great support, you know, like just a really good learning experience. And then you're living in this island where you can walk to the office, to the beach after work. You know, there's no downside to it, especially if someone has the I guess, mobility to be able to go and spend 5 minutes there. Which that's everyone doesn't have, but a lot of people do.
I feel like sometimes, unless we have like, you know, a spouse and children and stuff, I feel like sometimes it's just a perception that we don't have the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I 100% recommend. Just look it up, apply.
Parallel 18, and I was just looking on their site, and I think they have you guys just look it up. And they so Parallel 18 and also Startup Chile are two good ones that I'm aware of. Well, I'm aware of the Startup Chile one. And we got introduced via John Whelan.
Yeah.
Is that how you say his name?
John Whelan, that's correct.
And so tell me a little bit about, I know you didn't go through it, but he's the director of Blackstone Launchpad and Launchbox. Tell me a little bit about there. That's an accelerator here at Trinity.
Yeah. So I met John at a startup event for students, actually, and we were just going along to kind of meet people. And he invited me to come and give a talk on raising investment. So I gave a talk. They have a space here where they've got speakers coming in.
And here's, we're inside the Bank of Ireland in Workbench, which is a collaborative workspace, but on the Trinity College campus, which is an amazing campus
it's
to check out if you're in Dublin.
It?
Yeah. So nice. They have, it's amazing. So this accelerator is on campus.
The accelerator is on campus. I think it's mainly for students and ex-students of Trinity College. But I don't think everyone in the team has to be from Trinity, but it has to be some kind of link into it. I don't know the full details, so I don't want to get this wrong, John, if you're listening. but really good team with John and Stuart. And they have a lot going on. And John seems like just a really... super supporter of startups. He's a lot of business experience himself as well, which is obviously always gives someone a little bit extra gravitas when they're helping startups.
Definitely. And be sure to follow John and check out what he's doing at Off Portal, OFFPORTAL. And we'll have that in the show notes as well so that you're able to say hello with ease. So what would you say is one thing you've learned about achieving your dreams?
So one thing I would say, obviously it always takes hard work, but I think the thing I learn more as I get older, I guess, is that you just have to be clever about where you spend your time.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, look, it's the common problem. You fall into the trap of saying yes to everything and doing too much, but just eventually getting to the point where it's really clear to you what is the right thing to do.
Right.
I think when you start your startup, you don't actually know that because you don't, everyone starts with an idea, and right. then within like a year it's kind of different, and then within a year it's like unrecognizable from right. the original idea. And I think by the time you get to that, you can answer with certainty, okay, that's the right thing to do, and that's right. not the right thing to do. So I'd say, actually, if someone's starting, be patient with yourself.
Yeah.
And eventually, like, it will reveal itself, you know, where you should spend your time, what's the right direction to go in. And be honest with your co-founders, and hopefully if you have them, because it's really nice to have that support, be honest with each other about, you know, call each other up and go, okay, are we doing this for the right reason? Or are we just being busy people, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's something you have
That's what you were saying earlier, when you take a step back, you realize you don't have to spend as much time as you're spending on things.
You can
more
actually
wise with your time.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, you can, like, you go to a yoga class, or you go, if you're lucky enough, you know, to have mountains or the sea nearby or whatever, you know, and then you come back and you can do what would have taken you 5 hours and 2 hours. So you don't need to grind yourself out, because
sometimes
it's a long
journey.
Sometimes
we press refresh too much on social networks.
Yeah.
Like, that is not being productive, people.
No. Yeah. It's funny.
And
I'm not on Facebook and things like that, so I don't spend time on those things.
And you know, do you know that I'm traveling without a phone?
Oh, really?
Which I love.
Yeah.
So I have my Mac experience. Air that I got just for this trip. I love not having a phone.
Wow, beautiful. Yeah.
So I'm really present in the moment. Like, literally, there's no way to get a hold of me.
It's just whoever's around you.
Yeah.
And so in terms of, you're making arrangements with people just by email or connecting with them on Facebook.
Right. And it has to be really specific. Like, I was meeting someone the other day at Stephen Green's Park. Yeah. And I was like, you have to be right at this spot, because there's like no way to connect otherwise.
It's old school. It's kind of like, I remember when I was in school, I was probably like 16 years old, you go and arrange to meet your friend at some corner.
Yeah.
And then if they didn't turn up, you go find a phone box and you call their house to ask their mum.
Yeah, totally.
Where they were, and they left on the bus or whatever. Yeah.
Before we wrap up, I think everybody would love to know, like, what's one way? I mean, first of all, you have this experience of working with one of the most gigantic companies on the planet, and then going into an industry that I did not know was thriving globally, and, you know, going after it with these co-founders, building a tech company that's really... really such a cool, incredible process. How do you overcome challenges when they're presented?
Like, I'd say just feel the fear and do it anyway, because a lot of the time you don't know what you're supposed to do, and it's just constant figuring it out, constant problem solving. And then if something is really like feels kind of overwhelming, just do it anyway, because nothing is actually that big, you know?
Right.
It's just maybe a little bit in your head. Okay, so you know, as you're navigating through that, and like things you think are big come up aren't the big things, and the things that you thought were small lead to the best opportunity, right? So just do it anyway, basically.
Love it.
my motto.
Love it. I love it. Well, thank you. How can people connect with you?
You can find me on LinkedIn for sure. As I said, I'm not on Facebook and things, so find me on LinkedIn.
Okay. But do you do Twitter? I don't remember.
Yeah, well, I do all the company. We have social media for the company. So @UsherUHQ, Facebook, it's @UsherUHQ, Instagram, @UsherUHQ,
cool.
Or find me myself on LinkedIn.
All right, awesome. Cool.
Thank you so much, really
and
fun.
If you guys want to hang out with more cool people like Catherine, definitely go to the Women in Tech Facebook group. Just go to womenintechvip.com. That takes you direct to the Facebook group, so you don't have to try to search it. That is womenintechvip.com for the Facebook group. You guys are awesome, and I will see you guys in the next episode. And you know you can connect with me at Women in Tech Show on Twitter or Esprit Devora. Bye.
Cool. See you later. Bye.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.